Yeah, I surrender. I want to know you more. Last week, we started off by looking at our mission statement to be a habitation of God's presence within the community. So I'm actually going to be sharing the second part now, and then we'll have a little bit of worship, we'll have some prayer time as well a bit later on, and one or two things we're going to share. And we were trying to unpack what we mean by this mission statement. And last week, we looked at God's presence, that God's presence is about God himself. And God himself being God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When we talk about the presence of God, we're talking about not just the Spirit of God, but it's God himself living with us. And we saw in Genesis that when God's presence was there, he said, "Let there be light." He was hovering over the formless, empty dark, as he is over all of our lives. And he said, "Let there be light." And he continues to say that today. He continues to say, "Let there be light," into all of our situations. He hasn't stopped. That wasn't the one time he said, "Let there be light." He's saying now into my school situation, into your place where you work, your family, your situation, "Let there be light." And for some of us, we need light in our situation where we are right now. We need the creative God to find a way where at the moment there appears to be no way. And so we saw last week that God's presence is dynamic, it's powerful. It's not just about soaking and contemplating in it, but it's about something that motivates us and moves us on. And that light, when it came, brought life. And it was life that was good life. It was not a quote from apparently Star Trek, not Star Trek. But it's life, Jim, but not life as we know it. There is an element there where sometimes we look at life and say, yeah, we know what life is. But actually, when the Bible talks about life, it's talking about so much more. It's talking about an abundant life. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Have it to the full. Have an abundant life. And that's what God desires for every single one of us. But the important thing to know about the presence of God is this, that it's not about the blessings of things, but the blessing of him. And I'm going to repeat that because that's quite good, isn't it? It's not about the blessings of things, but it's about the blessing of him. And sometimes, and I'll come back to this a bit later on, sometimes we can see that the presence of God is being there to do us good or to do other people good. And there is a because, and there is an anointing in order to serve others. But it's about him first and foremost. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life forever." And that this life is infectious, and there's no vaccine for this life, because this life is an infectious, abundant, blessing life where we're living it in God's presence. And it is something which is meant to grow and explode and expand within our lives. Wherever we go, we carry that presence of God with us, and we change the atmosphere and we change the environment, because God's presence does that, because God living in us has an impact on wherever it may be that we are, whether that's the stable yard or the hospital or the office or the school or the university or wherever it is, we have an impact because God in us, our helper, having an impact of life, of abundant life. But what do we mean by us being a habitation of that, of God's presence? Well, we're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21. So I'm going to read a couple of very short scriptures to you. So Ephesians chapter 2, and it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21, "In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord." Talk about temple in a minute. "And in him you too are being built together, become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." That's mind-blowing. To become, we are a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And then we turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. In fact, it's a little bit before that. I pray, verse 16, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge," listen to this, "that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." We are called to be a habitation that is filled to the full measure of God. And that is something which God expects and calls us to be. It's God, God's in the Old Testament was with his people, but now God wants to be within his people. And it's a powerful, powerful message. So in the Old Testament, we see this. We see the story of God's people. And we see that God made the world, and there was Eden, and God walked with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And then we see that God visited man at the well, and he went to the burning bush and on the top of mountains, and God was there with his people constantly. We see that God was with people at certain times, at certain places, throughout the whole of the Old Testament scripture. And then at one point in Exodus, we see a tabernacle being built, and that tabernacle was a place where God wanted to dwell among his people. And so the tabernacle was built, but nobody could actually come into God's presence unless they were really holy. You know, there were the priests at certain times, and they went in, and there was this Ark of the Covenant, and above the Ark of the Covenant between the cherubim, that's where the presence of God was. And this Ark of the Covenant was powerful because it was the presence of God. And they carried the Ark of the Covenant into the Jordan, and the Jordan separated out, and they could walk through on dry land. And when the Ark of the Covenant was taken in an unholy way and treated in an unholy way, anybody who touched it died. But wherever the Ark of the Covenant was, there was blessing and there was fruitfulness. And David rejoiced when the Ark of the Covenant returned to Jerusalem. And when the Ark of the Covenant had been stolen from Jerusalem, there was a cursing and there was destruction. So it tells us about the presence of God, but God was kind of contained there. And we see that in the temple at Solomon's time, the temple was built, and there was this Holy of Holies that was right at the center. And they had all of these outer courts, which I haven't got time to go into, but there was this curtain that was put up, and nobody could go through this curtain apart from once a year, and it was a priest, and they could only go in carrying the blood of a sacrificed lamb. And this priest went in through there, and he had a rope tied to his ankle in case he died in the presence of God and he had to be dragged out. And that was where God was for the people. And do you know what? God never wanted to hide behind a curtain. And God never wanted to live in a tent. And God never wanted to be put in a box. God is not like the genie out of Aladdin. Nominal cosmic power, itty-bitty living space. That's not God. God wanted to be with us and within us. And so he sent his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus came and he led us into how to live our way of life. And then in Mark chapter 15, verse 38, we see it happening. That Jesus comes in, he sacrifices himself as that sacrificial lamb. And he dies on that cross, and his blood is shed as the sacrificial lamb. And at the moment of him dying, it tells us in Mark 15, 38, that the curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. And it was that God was saying, you can now enter into my presence, because you are now made holy through the blood of Jesus Christ. You are now holy enough to come face to face with me. And not only was he doing that, God was saying, I want to get out of here. I am on breakout. And God was wanting to break out of all those areas and all those places where we've contained him. And he said, I want to break out into every circumstance. I don't want to just be in your Sunday morning meetings. I don't want to be just in your prayer meetings on a Wednesday, although I want to be there. I don't want to be just in your quiet time. I want to break out of every box that you want to try and put me in, and every place where you want to try and contain me, and every time slot that you've got for me. I will break out into every smelly place, every dark place, every formless place, every sinful place. I will break out into every part of your life. Wherever you are, wherever you go, God says, I want to go there. And in John 14, verse 17, Jesus says this, because when he died on the cross and the curtain was torn in two and we could enter into the Holy of Holies, he didn't finish with that, because then Jesus died and he went into a tomb and he conquered hell and he rolled back the stone and he came back to life. So not even death could stop us from entering into the presence of God and being with God, because he came back to us. But it didn't stop there, because then he says in 14, verse 17 of John's Gospel, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And will be in you. And that was fulfilled in Acts of the Apostles. Jesus said, wait until power comes upon you, and then you'll be my witnesses to the end of the earth. And so we see that there is the desire of God to live within his people. So we are the habitation of God's presence. And that means that wherever you go, you are that temple of God. carrying that presence. He may not feel like it, and I often don't feel like it, but you know what? Because of Jesus Christ, you are it. That is it. Forever, God inhabits you by the power of his Holy Spirit. So we are a habitation of God's presence. But listen, and this is important, it's not because of what he can give you or do for you, but because we love him. And those songs that Simone chose this morning, she's got another one a bit later on, which is brilliant, and we're going to hear another one which is along the same kind of lines that I've chosen. But it's about us loving him and our desire for him, and everything flows from that. It's about our relationship with him and his presence. And when it talks about being a habitation, see, at the moment, my mum, who listens to this podcast, my mum has got a builder doing some work around the house called Doug. And I just realised it's quite a good name for a builder, isn't it? But anyway, Doug is doing a great job. I was having a chat with my mum the other day, and it's reassuring to me and my mum that he will do anything. Obviously, he charges for it, but he's great. He's very honest. And like he's sorting out my mum's paving slabs, he's redoing my mum's shed, he's sorting out the tiling, he's great. And he comes and he visits me and mum, he does all this, and he's going to do all sorts of work for her. And I think that's great. But if I were to give my mum a ring a bit later on, because I have a chat with her on a Sunday, and she says, "Do you know what, Doug's brilliant. I've decided I want him to come and live with me because he's really useful. You know, I think it'd be really great if he lived with me, because whenever there's a problem, I can turn to Doug and Doug will sort it out for me." And I think I would say, "Mum," at that point, I would say, "Mum, that's going a bit too far. You don't want Doug coming to live with you just because of what he can do for you." And yet there are times when we perhaps, dare I suggest, treat God a little bit like that. Do we ask God to live with us because constantly we think because we need him to do things for us? I don't live with Adrienne because of what she does for me. I live with Adrienne because I love living with Adrienne, and because I love her, and because she's fantastic. And if Adrienne never ever did anything and we never achieved anything in our lives, it would still be fantastic. And you know, if God's presence is enough, God is enough. Let's not slip into, first and foremost, seeing for what God can do for us. And as we get into that relationship with God, as we become that, as we are the habitation of God, then I believe things flow from that. I know that things flow from that. I know that we begin to express the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the goodness, the kindness, the gentleness, the self-control will flow from our relationship with him. Whether he does things for us or not, it's just that relationship that will flow from him. So to be a habitation of God's presence rather than a visitation, but a habitation. We've prayed so many times for revival, and I believe in that. We've prayed so many times for a visitation of God, and I believe in that. But what we need is a habitation of God within our lives. I'm just going to finish with Revelation chapter 3, verse 16. You know, it's quite frustrating preaching on Zoom because you kind of think you could unpack this for hours. But I just want you to begin to do that yourselves. I want you to begin to have a look at what does it mean to be a dwelling place of God, for us as a church and for you as an individual. What does it mean? Have a read of some of Tom's devotionals. Tom did a devotional, I think, has gone out today about being a dwelling place. Have a listen and have a read of those. But Revelation chapter 3, verse 16, I'm going to finish with. And I'd like us just to use it as a bit of a meditation. And God is saying this to us at the moment. And it's so crucial that we get hold of this. When we as leaders were looking at our mission statement, this is probably the word that we started with, the habitation. And we've had prophetic words in the past about God doesn't want to be somebody who visits us, but somebody who inhabits us. So it's important that we are that dwelling place of God's presence. Revelation chapter 3, verse 16, this is part of the letter to the church at Laodicea. God says this, and he says it to us. He says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." We've gone over so much ground. I just feel we need to pray before we listen to this this next song and worship to this next song. So let's just pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you again to come and fill us. We say we love you. We love you. Holy Spirit, if you never ever did anything for us ever again, we want to say we love you. Yes. Teach us how to love you more. Teach us how to fall in love with you. Even if life doesn't go right, we want to love you more and more and more. Teach us to be a people who are just abandoned in love for you. Yes. We would desire you and surrender ourselves to you. Even if everything goes wrong, we want to love you, Lord God. We do trust you, Lord. We believe in you. We know that you can work miracles and we have seen it happening. But Lord, we want to love you for who you are. May you reignite a love relationship within us for you. Lord, come and live within our hearts. We open the door. We don't want to keep you standing on the outside. We open the door and ask that you would come and inhabit us, dwell within us. We need you, Lord. More than anything, we need you. The resurrection and the life, we need you, Almighty God.